One American at a time.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Chris, last week with Andrew Colvin, I think some listeners didn't get the message there. I'll give you an example. I got one letter from a listener who said, well, you know, they can't go along with him because he doesn't seem to believe in UFOs. Now, maybe I'm getting too old for this kind of work, but as I recall it, Andrew Colvin talked about, yes, military disinformation in contacts, UFO sightings, also abductions, but he didn't dismiss the possibility of some kind of paranormal phenomenon. Did I get it wrong?
No. As a matter of fact, you know, we didn't really address the subject of UFOs, which is actually a good thing, I think. I think the UFO topic gets way more coverage on the Paracast than obviously all the other amazing paranormal mysteries that we deal with on the show. And I think we did kind of stay away from that whole subject, but I never got the impression that he didn't think UFOs were a real mystery. He was not, in my view, you know, broadly paintbrush stroking away the phenomenon and trying to argue that all these sightings are, you know, military craft or you know, as yet undefined natural phenomena or whatever. I did not get that impression at all. So I'm not sure, you know, what our listener was referring to.
I think part of it is the inability of some people to look at a gray area and realize it's not all black and white. You know, obviously not all UFO sightings are real, represent something unknown. Only a small percentage do, actually. Not all cases of abductions may represent the possibility of ET abducting people. There may be lots of other answers. There may be many answers to the UFO mystery that include natural, paranormal, whatever. There could still be an ET out there, or a race of ETs, many races, coming to our planet and doing exploration, but that doesn't mean there aren't paranormal events that occur in connection with those UFOs, or can be used to explain some of those cases. Even at the time that we talked about crypto-terrestrials with the late Mac Tonies, I don't think Mac ever said there can't be extraterrestrial UFOs, just that some might be sourced here. So why does it have to be either or?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, life is you know, a series of gray areas that get lighter and darker, but I mean, the very phenomenon of Mothman could be, by literal definition, defined as a UFO. So in my view, Mothman is that one of those perfect illustrations of how the UFO phenomenon ties into the paranormal, because there are so many elements that just you can't explain away. And I really liked Andy's appearance on the show, and I'm really surprised the forum we haven't seen one single response. I thought that our listeners would be up there on the forum just posting away their opinions on the many subjects that Andy covered and some of the wonderful little factoids that he has uncovered in his many years of investigating that case that most people aren't aware of about Mothman. Of course, we're all sort of pre-programmed, if we're John Keel fans, with the Mothman Prophecies, Keel's excellent book. And I'm really surprised, and actually I'm scratching my head wondering why that particular show has been one of the few that has generated absolutely no responses in the couple of days following the broadcast.
I understand we're doing this on a Tuesday. The show will be heard on a Sunday. And I know we said this once before with another show. Gee, why aren't we getting responses? And I think that very day or the next day, the boards opened up, and soon we were inundated with responses to that particular show.
Right.
You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
So it could happen. And I think there are some significant issues there. Like, for example, UFO abductions. Are some of these staged? You know?
Yeah,
are
exactly.
Some of these attempts to perform some kind of mind control experiment? We know the government was doing a lot of strange things in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, etc. And some of those things weren't very helpful in terms of being of benefit to the population. However, the act of the government in doing this kind of stuff doesn't mean that E.T. isn't around abducting people to perform experiments. I don't know. I do know that we've talked to some people about abductions on the Paracast. I remember a guy named Doug. Doug's a Canadian fellow who did a really fascinating interview with us on the Paracast. And then I had a conversation with him a few months later. We talked on the phone, or actually on Skype, for about an hour. And I got more information, more details about his abductions. In his case, it doesn't seem that he was involved in some kind of government experimentation. He had suffered from a very severe trauma. Something happened to him. We'd like to know what. Was it ET? Did he suffer some kind of unknown mental illness? I don't know. I just think that this kind of event or any of these events cry out for an explanation. And as I said, it's not always going to be either or. It can't be either or. Too much going on out there. In fact, even when we've discussed UFOs here on the Paracast, I think we are one of the few shows where we speak of other possible answers to the phenomenon.
Knee-jerk ETH assumption, which I think is important.
And I think what's one of the reasons why the Paracast sometimes gets unfair criticism from some people, because we won't simply accept the explanations that are offered. We're going to consider a lot of possibilities because the jury is out. Maybe Stan Friedman is totally right about everything he says, by which Stan is going to be on our show with John Alexander, a great debate about whether there is a military UFO cover-up later this month. And we want you to go to the Paracast forums at forum.theparacast.com, where you can post your questions for John and Stan. And we're going to see what happens. We haven't really organized the debate structure, because if we're asking your questions, then in that case, it may be something that only one of these two people can answer. We're working out the structure to see how it will work. It'll be on the Paracast in a couple of weeks, so stay with us. We'll also be hearing from Peter Robbins, who was part of the Intruders Foundation, worked very closely with the late Bud Hopkins, and has lots of insights about the subject of UFO abductions. But he'll also talk about Rendlesham Forest. What new events or what new information do we have about the Rendlesham Forest sightings? More evidence? What can we find out about them? I wanted to add one more thing. Not long after we recorded the first part of this week's show, we started seeing messages on our forums about Andrew Colvin. So there you go. But today we're going to look at a subject that may or may not be out of place. Because that's the book.
Space and time.
Out of place in time and space, inventions, beliefs, and artistic anomalies that were impossibly ahead of their time. And the author is Lamont Wood. Chris, tell us about what you discovered about this guy and this book.
Well, when the book came out, and it just came out about a month or two ago, and I happened to read a couple of reviews on it, and it brought up some very interesting subject areas about historical inventions, details in the corners of paintings, objects found in tombs, things that are totally out of place and seem far ahead of their time in terms of when they were allegedly created, and then when we subsequently discover them, they seem to hint that ancient man, or in some cases medieval man, had more knowledge about science and the cosmos than conventional wisdom would normally suggest. And this book is incredibly well researched. It's just impeccably written. The examples that he gives to show that we should be looking at ancient and medieval man in a new and different light in terms of what they actually knew, the types of abilities they had to determine particular scientific principles. The book is chock full of just anomalies that just absolutely don't make sense. They're totally out of place in time, and I'm really looking forward to talking with Lamont about all these things.
The book is called out of place in time and space. Lamont Woods, the author, and with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
I've got to tell you about this. GoToMeeting by Citrix. The way I meet online with my colleagues has just added high-definition group video conferencing. It's called GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Now you can collaborate with anyone around the world face-to-face. And I've used GoToMeeting HD Faces because it's awesome. You see the facial expressions, and that can express so much more than words. And of course, the video quality is so clear and natural, it's got the highest resolution in the industry. Nothing compares. GoToMeeting with HD Faces will make your online meetings even more personal, engaging, and effective. Plus, it's so easy to use. All you need is an internet connection and a webcam. I want you to try GoToMeeting with HD Faces. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code PODCAST. The promo code is PODCAST at GoToMeeting.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we have Lamont Wood. He's author of a new book called Out of Place in Time and Space, which rhymes, of course, with a subtitle, Inventions, Beliefs, and Artistic Anomalies That Were Impossibly ahead of their time. Now, when I read the title of this, I say to myself, ancient astronauts, is that an inspiration or a possibility? Is that what you're hinting at here?
Not really. That's not what I was getting at. Let's put it that way. Since the book has come out, I've talked to all these people about it. I realize that a lot of people are really into ancient astronauts. But no, that's not what it was about. There's stuff in there in the 20th century, for that matter, in the 19th century. But, and it's better documented, too. But my viewpoint is that there are monumental mysteries everywhere you look. And you don't have to be going into these barely documented ancient monoliths or whatever, which, as it turns out, we know very little about. Of course we know very little about it. I mean, people didn't practice literacy back then. If they did, nothing survived to us. But there are monumental mysteries about the stuff going on around us, for that matter. So I looked into what they call outliers. And anytime you gather data on a particular topic, you're going to run into outliers. And that's normal. And you can go to college and take a couple semesters of statistics and learn how to what's safe to throw away and what isn't. But I found things that basically kind of fly in the face of any linear concept of history. Things that are, you would think really shouldn't be there. And I wrote it up as a collection of magazine articles. Each one is standalone. And I tried to make it entertaining and hope I did. But the best example of what I was after was the one I led off with in chapter one. It's been hanging on the wall of a museum in France for probably centuries. And in the last few decades, no one paid that much attention to one of the details of the picture that now leaps out at us. It's fairly conventional church painting of a Madonna and child. Christ child is sitting in the lap of the Virgin Mary. But nowadays, we tend to look at what the Christ child is depicted as doing. And what he is doing is playing with a pull-string flying toy helicopter, which is really weird because that painting was made in about 1460. And usually they would say, you know, standard history says the helicopter was invented about 1906, something like that. And then they finally got reliable mass-produced versions in the 1940s, which is all true. But this kid is actually playing with a flying toy helicopter. There's no getting around it. So when I kept finding these things, I looked for a high concept to fit it in. So I just didn't want to say, you know, crazy junk or something. And I came up with the concept of what I would call, I came up with the name reverse anachronism. And the standard anachronism is where you go to the movies, and the movie's about Rome, and the actors are speaking English. The audience is speaking Latin because the movie's about Rome, but you accept that because you don't know Latin.
It's like now, Star Trek, where you have all those alien beings who speak English, but then they have a universal translator. Even if they never visited that planet before, they have a universal translator for it.
Okay, absolutely. Or for that matter, all the female crew members are dressed like 1960s style. You know, you probably went around then, so that doesn't leap out at you, but it does me. So yeah, that's an anachronism. Now, reverse an error. So anyway, it's stuff depicted as being in the wrong era. Stuff in the present depicted as being in some other era, basically. But since you're from the present, you accept that because you'd be confused otherwise. Now, the reverse anachronism I came up with would be something from the present that you find in the past, not a depiction, but an actual thing or belief, object, or whatever. And here we have a flying machine from the present, and it's in the past. And like I say, no one paid much attention to it the last few decades because we had nothing in common with it. It didn't belong to our present, so we just shrugged it off. But perhaps a better example would be the so-called Antikythera mechanism. Well, let me explain. If you're going to have reverse mechanisms from the present that show up in the past, logic would demand that there are things in the future here in the present, but presumably we don't recognize them for what they are. Well, the Antikythera mechanism was found off the Greek island of Antikythera, hence the name, in 1901, and when they found it, they didn't know what it was. Basically, it was a corroded mass of bronze gears. And they figured it was some clockwork thingy. And now we know what it is because it has come into synchronization, so to speak, with our present. And we can recognize what it is. It was an ancient computer. Not in the binary sense of something programmable, but in the old sense of the programming being built into the design. It was a device for synchronizing the lunar calendar with the solar calendar. And attract various other planetary motions with some precision, incidentally. And the thing beyond that, it included what they call planetary gears. Now, if you own a car with an automatic transmission inside the transmission housing will be some planetary gears. And no one knew anything about them until the Industrial Revolution, when there was, they found some need for it in mostly driving cars and stuff, because as you turn, the wheels have to react a little differently. Well, this machine actually used it. And we assumed this was, such things were unknown at the time. It must have represented generations of acquired skill, accumulated knowledge, which then disappeared. There's no further evidence.
You know, this is where people start talking about ancient astronauts, like that toy helicopter. That's used as evidence. Well, how could they have anything that advanced hundreds or thousands of years ago? E.T. had to bring it here.
Oh, right, yes. Then how come we have it today? How were we able to invent it? The invention of the manned helicopter is rather well documented. I assume the toy helicopter, which is kind of less demanding, was easier to invent. And as I point out in the book, what you do is you take a whirligig, and which is a common children's toy, and you apply some power to it, put a little English on it, and it will produce results that are delightful to a small boy. It'll fly up in the air. And I assume that's where this came from. And like I said, I don't think they needed to consult visiting aliens to achieve that. Now, there are some examples in here that would seem to cry out for either some kind of a time traveler intervention or alien intervention or something. But usually I'm able to find some fairly mundane way to explain it all. Using Occam's razor, which I tried to be religious with, the belief that the simplest explanation is the best, the one to go with. Now, I'm the first to admit that the simplest explanation is not always correct. If, for instance, you ever took organic chemistry, there's some very complex things going on, and those answers are correct. Or sometimes in politics, you know, the Watergate scandal, that was the hard way to explain what was going on, but that was the break-in that was all real, apparently. But when you get into that, when you get away from Occam's razor, you have to explain a number of things that I find kind of daunting. One, that any visiting astronauts would share our agenda and would do what we want them to do, and do something actually understandable to us.
Well,
no, I don't understand my cat's agenda. Well, why would we understand?
You know what? We'll have to get into more of this in just a moment. We're talking to Lamont Wood. The book is called Out of Place, In Time and Space, and maybe something that we have developed here, not something that maybe we picked up from some kind of ET intervention.
Right.
We'll have more to go this week on
The Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Neighbors, do you need to bring the final touches to your latest podcasts? Clean up the soundtrack of that holiday video. Mix together a few takes from your last jamming session. Process the audio files of the video game you're creating to sound just right. But look no further. Whatever audio-related task you're looking to perform, Amadeus Pro is the tool for you. It's the Swiss Army knife of sound editing. Go to HairerSoft.com. HairerSoft.com. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available at all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with Uhimbe and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at herbalhealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
This is Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear, and I'm here to say a good word or two about the Paracast, which I believe is the gold standard of paranormal radio. Listen to it if you can.
We're back with Gene and Chris and Lamont Wood, and we're talking about his book, Out of Place in Time and Space. And let me ask you the other question, which is, what about the existence of highly advanced civilizations right here on Earth?
Yeah. How come they exist? You know, well, presumably someone, you know, managed to sit still long enough to develop the necessary means. Now, we're referring to what? Currently existing ones or the ancient ones, or which ones do you want to talk about?
We like to think that civilization moved in some kind of linear way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that with a few back steps along history,
yeah.
You know, we were Neanderthals, we were humans, we worked with stone, we developed all sorts of advanced technologies for their time, and eventually we arrived here.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue being, what would happen if something took out our civilization next week?
Right.
Now, 10,000 years from now, we might still have some humans left.
Mm-hmm.
But would they have any recollection, except in legends, that we existed and we reached this level of civilization such as it is?
Well, I think that the population we have now, being generally literate, is accommodated to a level of technical civilization that they would try to return to. I would point out Western Europe after World War II, and whole cities are flattened. And they didn't stand there after arms folded and say, well, I guess we have to go back to the Stone Age now. They said, no, we're going to have to rebuild the sewer system and the water system and the electrical system and all the bridges, et cetera, et cetera. And they did that. And I really think our descendants would not be jellyfish and would try to do something similar. Admittedly, there is some level of damage that they might not be able to overcome if they were reduced to scattered survivors surrounded by large ruins. And presumably in 10,000 years, they would eventually rebuild some kind of civilization and marvel at these ruins. But in that case, I think we would see them starting all over and probably reliving vaguely the history that we see in our past.
So basically, we basically relive our civilization, our development. So was there an Atlantis?
It doesn't matter. I kind of doubt it. I haven't seen no one's found any convincing ruins. And we don't need for there to have been so, for there to have been one. The course of our civilization is fairly, and the technology required to support it and the development of that is fairly well known. And the things I found in my book are, like I say, outliers. They don't refute the major timelines. They just show that there's little pockets of
pockets of anomalies. But then we have to account for them anyway, and you accounted for possibly the building of a toy that people did imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
Flying things in the sky, and somebody came up with something that is a toy. It's not something that you can fly. It doesn't show some kind of advanced propulsion system. It doesn't show an internal combustion engine. It's just a toy.
Right, right. And almost anyone could have built one. And I do, as I wrote the book, I did notice a sort of an ongoing theme in that often children's toys don't seem to get the attention they deserve. They're just written off as, you know, frivolous nonsense. That flying machine would be one. We also discovered the Romans had steam-powered toys, which they did not develop in any direction. And, of course, there's usual stories about tombs in Central America where they find wheeled toys.
Right, but they never used the wheel. They never actually utilized it for purposes of carrying heavy objects and moving goods from one place to another.
And presumably that was because they didn't have decent roads and draft animals. So it would have been actually no immediate benefit. But you do have to wonder, not so much the attitude I take from this is not sit here. We shouldn't be sitting here thinking, gosh, they were stupid. We should be thinking, what are we ignoring right now? What game changer is sitting out there that four-year-olds are playing with that maybe we should pay attention to?
Right. And then you look at video games and some of the technology that's suggested in there. Well, Lamont, before we get too far along, and there are quite a number of these out-of-place anomalies that we're going to be discussing, some real fascinating ones, too, some that are real head-scratchers. But let's get a little bit more of a sense of you and your background, how you became involved in what is your interest, how did your interest become a fascination to the point where you really started, you know, as you said, creating these magazine articles and stuff. Was it the painting of the Madonna and Child that really got you going, or was that just the straw that kind of broke the camel's back for you? Because you have done an amazing amount of research, and I must commend you on this. This is one of the better research books that I've read recently, and have you always had an interest in these sorts of subject areas, or why don't you give us a little sense of who Lamont Wood is?
Well, I have been a freelance writer for more than 30 years now, mostly in the high-tech field, writing for computer and industrial magazines, and constantly involved in research, trying to keep up on what's going on. And I've always been a history buff, and it's always, as time goes on, and I see my field evolving rather quickly into, you know, things totally unexpected. You have to apply that to
Gene can identify with that. He is also a high tech aficionado. Has another radio show that deals with high tech the high tech subject. But continue. Yeah,
well,
I'm sorry.
Well, I thought camera phones were stupid when they came out, and see what happened there. You know, so I've been wrong quite a bit, and looking back in history, a lot of people have been wrong quite a bit about technology. It seems to have a mind of its own. But people latch on to what they find useful, will run with it. We have yet to confound the population, I think. But anyway, I became a history buff. But I used to be a newspaper reporter, too, and was aware about how a lot of people seem to look for the conspiracy theory and everything, when if you look, you will immediately find what I call the logistical theory behind it, like it was all they could do, really. I mean, the road led there, and that's where they went. The horses had to be fed, and so they fed them, and those two things meant the army went this way, not that way, stuff like that. So I kind of combined that with this. I looked into these odd things, and was usually able to find, like I said, the logistical answer. There's probably something profound there I should be saying. My mind is adrift here for a moment. But as a history buff, I also was always impressed by the Socratic approach. Socrates, he looked into the matter and decided that made two discoveries. One was that ultimately no one knows what they're talking about. And two, all human logic is circular, probably because of number one. And using that approach has never failed me yet. have yet to find counterexamples. So combined all that and some research to go out and find, like say, these outlying pieces of data, mostly with on the basis of faith that I would find them if I looked for them. We have the book that's in front of us. I found like 42 examples, and that's only scratching the surface. There's more out there, trust me. But the ones I have here are at least entertaining ones, I think.
But in every case here, there's a conventional answer. There's no mysticism or paranormal or ET involved.
I can't see anything where you have to say that there's some mysticism. But frankly, there's some I cannot in good faith say that I have an answer.
You know what? I think maybe as we progress with the show, let's talk about the stuff that stumped Lamont Wood.
Yeah.
The stuff that you can't explain. Because that gets our listeners thinking about the possibilities, and we could look into maybe what those possibilities might be.
Okay.
The book is called Out of Place in Time and Space, subtitled Inventions, Beliefs, and Artistic Anomalies That Were Impossibly Ahead of Their Time. And I want to get into beliefs, too.
Okay.
I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
The Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com, the main name in military supply.
OpticsPlanet.com is where discerning gun owners and outdoorsmen go to gear up. OpticsPlanet has the best selection of rifle scopes, red dots, night vision, holsters, bags, and tactical gear on the planet. With always low prices, free shipping on most orders, and expert customer service. Go to OpticsPlanet.com/GCN to get a free gift with purchase. That's OpticsPlanet.com/GCN. Or call 800-332-OPTICS. 800-332-6784.
Hi, this
this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Energy, energy, and more energy.
We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extracts. Wild Chagan birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild Chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as a king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chagamax capsules to get the energy you need.
You deserve it.
Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is Kurt Seven, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
We're not out of time or out of space or anything like that, but we're talking to Lamont Wood. The book is called Out of Place in Time and Space. So let me ask you first of all, before we get into some of these artifacts that might have stumped you, you're talking about beliefs that are out of place in time and space. What kind of beliefs?
Well, knowledge that you would not expect people to have, such as best example, and the one that really stumps me, possibly the most prosaic, the one most people know about, would be the first novel that Jules Verne wrote, and it was in 1865. And in his course of his life, he wrote about 50 novels, the minority of which actually were science fiction. But his first one was called From Earth to Moon, and he presents an American space program to launch three men from Florida in an aluminum capsule. And they go around the moon, return to Earth, land in the Pacific Ocean, and are picked up by the U.S. Navy. Does any of that sound familiar?
Good point.
Yeah, and it pretty much, metaphorically anyway, describes the Apollo 8 mission, which was in 1968, 103 years later. Now, going back to Jules Verne, in his science fiction novels, he makes a lot of technological predictions, most of which were extensions of stuff that was going on in his lifetime, you know, air conditioners, cars, fax machines. But it's hard to go back to 1865 and see anything that you could build into an American space program to send men to the moon, especially with that particular scenario. And, in fact, the novel includes a fairly detailed budget for the project, and I've seen analysis that show that, you know, including inflation, when you figure in inflation, it's about 85% of the cost of the Apollo program up to the time of Apollo 8. So I guess he didn't include enough managerial overhead or something. But having said that, where did he get this, you know?
Exactly.
It's dumbfounding. So,
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, too. The sophistication of the Nautilus is another example of him being quite forward-thinking. Of course, we also have Arthur C. Clarke and predicting the, you know, the satellite.
But that was more like, say, an extension of known technology. But for this particular scenario, it's just hard to see where he got it. And now, when you get into the details, of course, he didn't get it right. He would they hit him use a cannon instead of a rocket, but a cannon would not have been believable in 1850. And he couldn't have described how to build one because he didn't know how himself. And he could describe how to build a huge cannon and all the things that went around it. So I forgive him, in other words. But if you read it sort of metaphorically, it is so accurate. It is eerie. But anyway, I don't have an explanation for that one. I don't know where he got that. listening to echoes in the future or something. If you want to, you know, get mystical about that, go ahead. I can't say no.
But isn't that part and parcel of what science fiction writers have always done, which is kind of speculate on future developments, and sometimes they hit the nail on the head, and sometimes they don't. It's not just because the Star Trek phone from Motorola was very much like the communicator in Star Trek, or that the handheld computer in Star Trek Next Generation was very much like an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Is it also that today we look at literature, we're inspired by literature, and when we create these things, we use that inspiration to make it so?
Yes. And what you say is all true, but in this particular, when someone writes a science fiction novel, remember the main thing is the plot normally, and then you have some technological assumptions, which presumably are something beyond what the reader is expected to have experienced, and therefore you introduce some level of awe to it. In this particular novel, the plot and the technology are two different things. There is nothing about the technology that requires, for instance, that Texas made political problems with the project being located in Florida. And in reality, that is what happened too. And that is why Mission Control is located in Houston. Now, why did he include that? You know, that's completely out of left field, but there
beyond,
is an act of what did happen a century later. So
it seems beyond coincidental. I mean, some New Ages would argue that, he must have been tapped into the Akashic records and he was able to pull these future events out of some sort of, mystical hall of records and was able to then...
Well, in that case, what about the rest? What happens after that?
Well, I'm kind of agreeing with you there, Lamont. I'm not I'm not refuting what you're saying. I do really have a sense, though, that the power of human imagination is incredible. And I think, putting the science in science fiction is something that humans do very well. And there's all sorts of examples down, through the decades that we've been, most of our listeners, I'm sure, are science fiction fans, so we've seen examples of this. But what do you think? I mean, what is your particular explanation or your assumption about all this? I mean, how do you think he was able to come up with all these plot details that are sound eerily familiar?
Well, the simplest explanation, again, is the one I go with, that is that he got lucky. Now, and that's all I can say. I mean, I don't really have a theory beyond that. Now, there's been a couple of other examples in here where I say he got lucky, and there's more. I think it sounds more reasonable to say that. But in this case, there's just too much to be lucky about. So I'm as dumbfounded as anyone else. I don't have a theory. I just put it out there. I'm not here trying to win anybody over to any particular philosophy or viewpoint, except maybe Occam's Razor. That's the one I've been preaching.
Right, good old Occam.
Yeah.
Good old Occam. Okay. We have Jules Verne from Earth to the Moon getting a few too many things right.
Right.
You can't explain it. What else? Give me another example of something where there is this evidence of an invention or anything that just seemed a little too pat, a little too far advanced and too accurate to have a conventional explanation.
Well, it's not so much an explanation, an invention, as just something that really just defies explanation. And that would be the Voynich manuscript. It's a vellum manuscript that's been dated to 1420, and it's more than 200 pages long. It's hand-lettered and hand-illustrated. Of course, it has to be. That was before the invention of the printing press. Okay, so far, so good. And it's written in an alphabetical language. The problem is the alphabet is like nothing, matches no other alphabet on Earth, and the language it's in can be analyzed. They can find mathematical patterns in it, as you would in a real language, but it matches no known language. And some of the leading lights in field of cryptography, have tried to decrypt it, break it, whatever, analyze it, have not come up with anything. No one has really been able to prove, my opinion, that it contains any information that a third party could extract. Yet it is laid out like it was a book, like it's supposed to be read by somebody. There are words that are in parts of it, but not in other parts, as if they belong to vocabulary of the subject of that chapter or whatever. And then there's the illustrations, which appear to be about things, but when you look at them closely, we can't figure out what they are. There appears to be illustrations of botanical information, but they don't match any known botany. There appears to be illustrations of astronomical information, but they don't match any known astronomy. A lot of the there's a lot of strange plumbing and women without clothes on, but they're not just standing around. So no one has been able to figure it out. Basically, now there are several possible explanations, which have big holes in them. One is that it's a hoax, and before I go into that, the simplest explanation, going back to Occam's razor, for having something that matches the mathematical patterns of a language but contains no information, is that someone took gibberish and then encrypted it. And the act of encrypting it would add the mathematical patterns that make it seem like a language. Okay, that's great if you're going to sell it to the CIA. It might be using for an extra few hours. In 1420, I don't think that was a big deal. Maybe he did, concoct it to sell it to a rare book dealer. But why go to all this trouble?
Yeah, what's the motivation?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, before we get into those motivations, because these are answers we may never find. The book is called Out of Place in Time and Space. The author with us on the PowerCast is Lamont Wood. So that means with Gene and Chris, you're definitely in
the PowerCast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, and investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.